Welcome back to Launchpad on Business Radio, powered by the Wharton School, SiriusXM Channel 111. I'm your host, Carl Ulrich. I'm Vice Dean of Innovation at the Wharton School. If you're just joining us and it's Wednesday night, then you're listening to us live. I'm broadcasting from our studio on the campus of the University of Pennsylvania here in Philadelphia, and we'd love to hear from you. So I'm going to give you our number before we start the segment. Our number is 844-WHARTON. That's 844-942-7866. We tend to have super interesting guests, but don't let that dissuade you. Give us a call if you've got a question you'd like our guest to address or you'd like me to address. We'd love to have you join in the conversation. I'm joined now by Dr. Imdat Oz, the founder of ArcBazaar. Dr. Oz, welcome to Launchpad.
Thank you, Carl, for having me. It's a pleasure.
Now, do you really? I know Lisa's been pestering you to get you to give us the correct pronunciation of your name. You're from Turkey originally, is that right?
Yes, that's correct. And all right. I was telling Lisa, Turkish is a phonetic language, so you just pronounce it as it's written. So it should be quite easy.
All right, you say your last name then for me.
Oh yeah, it's Imdat Oz.
Oz. Okay.
Yes.
All right, because the way I was going to read it, it was Dr. Oz.
Uh-huh.
And Dr. Oz is a different doctor, and I thought we
Yeah, actually, a lot of people call me Dr. Oz, some of the students. So.
That's funny. You know, yep. He's actually an alumnus of the Wharton School, so you're in good company.
Yeah.
I'm going to call you Imdat, if that's okay. You can call
Excellent.
Me.
Right, Excellent.
Perfect.
Yep.
Perfect. So Imdat, the way we'd like to get started with each segment is we just dive right in and get our guest entrepreneur to give us their elevator pitch.
Sure.
And just to remind our listeners, I think most people know this, but it refers to the hypothetical situation where you step on an elevator, you've got just 20 or 30 seconds to tell people what your business is about.
Mm-hmm.
So Imdat, give us the elevator pitch for ArcBazaar.
Okay, so ArcBazaar is the first of its kind crowdsourcing platform for architectural design projects. And so we are located here in Cambridge, Massachusetts, at the Cambridge Innovation Center at Kendall Square, at the MIT campus. And so in a nutshell, clients put up projects and can run design contests online and pick their winners.
All right. So, Imdat, I actually am myself a serial builder and renovator and so forth. So I actually have a project. So I have my in-laws have a little cabin in Montana, and we want to add, we're going to put a new roof on, and we want to do a little addition with a little dormer to add some space to the second floor.
Yes.
Could we use your platform?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is, if you think about a building's life cycle, it starts with conceptual design, goes into design development, construction documents, bidding, permitting, and then construction administration. So what we are doing is sort of dealing with the first two phases of the project, the conceptual and the schematic design. So if you want on ArcBazaar to get sort of different ideas about your dormer, about your roof, to see the potential of your project, ArcBazaar would be the right address. So it's really about crowdsourcing the design rather than its implementation on your site. And so we actually on ArcBazaar we had a lot of those type of attic projects already run and completed successfully.
Okay, so I want to circle back on a couple things. First, I want to point our listeners to your website. It's ArcBazaar.
Yes.
ArcBazaar.com. And you do a nice job of displaying some of your projects that are both in process and that are completed, so our listeners can check that out. And then let me circle back and underscore something you said. I can tell by, and because I've read your bio, but also from the language you use, that you're trained as an architect.
Yes.
And there is a fairly standard process in architectural design that starts with conceptual design, goes to design documentation, construction supervision, so forth. And you're really focused, as you said, on that first piece.
Yes.
So walk me through. Okay, so I want to use it for this cabin project. what do I actually submit, and then what happens?
So the idea is really to get the friction out of the way that usually clients experience when they are trying to hire an architect, as you might have experienced as well. You know, there's a lot of interviewing process and you know, going back and forth. So we want to get rid of and make it really convenient for clients. So what they would do is come to our webpage, upload very simple basic information that designers need minimally to come up with their design solution. So you would describe the project textually, you would upload pictures of the space, and you would also provide rough dimensions. Now, a lot of the clients are homeowners, so they might have blueprints that they just take a picture of and upload, or they can all just sketch it on a piece of paper, take a picture. A lot of clients do that as well, and upload that. And then you would decide, what's your time frame? Do you have a month time? Do you have 2 weeks? Do you have 3 days? And then in the end, you would decide on what is the award that you actually want to put out there for designers to participate in your contest. We, on ArcBazaar, we are suggesting, based on our sort of a pricing algorithm that we have developed, what a good award for your particular project would be. But it's up to the client eventually to decide on the award amount. And then after this is all done in one simple single page. You would launch your project, and then designers from all around the world who are registered on ArcBazaar will get notified, and they can decide whether to participate in your contest or not. And on average, clients get about 9 to 10 submissions so far from our history.
All right, and just calibrate me, just based on what I said to you, and let's say I need it in a normal time frame, what would you recommend that I offer as a prize?
Again, it's there are like 4 or 5 settings or criteria that sort of decide on the suggestion of the award, and those are based on the square footage of your space, on the type. So we are doing 5 different type of projects: remodeling, interior design, landscape design, new residential projects, and also commercial projects like restaurants and so on. So depending on these type of projects, there are different multipliers. So on your project, probably a good time frame would be for a dormer, for an attic space, 2 to 3 weeks. And depending on the square footage, I guess it's sort of normal attic space, it probably would range from $500 to about $800. On average, our projects so far, and we have done about 1,000 projects now, it's about $800-$900 per project.
All right. So here's what here's I think the $800 question, MDOT, which is, if I were to go hire an architect, and I've hired a lot of architects in my day, I would probably pay $4,000 or $5,000 for that
exactly
work.
Yes.
And you're now telling me I can get 9 designs, let's call it 10 designs, for $800. So as an architect, I'm looking at this project, my expected payout is $80, right? Because I have a 1/10 chance of getting $800. Why would I do this for an expectation of $80?
Yeah, this is actually a very good question that sort of comes up all the time. And one of the reasons is, you know, when we started our beta version some time ago now, like 3 days into it, Dwell magazine called us the worst thing that happened to architecture since the internet started.
Oh,
yeah. And it's a total misunderstanding, because you have to think that we started this project, and this was my thesis dissertation advisor at Harvard, Dan Shurdek, who passed away last year. But the idea was really during the recession in 2009, when 90,000 architects were laid off, and the number of architects went down from 250,000 to 160,000. Our idea was, you know, how can we sort of create new potential opportunities for these sort of idle talent that is laying around at the time. And the target projects that we were sort of looking for were these smaller remodeling projects. It's about $170 billion annually just in the U.S., and 90% of those projects go to contractors.
With no architect.
With no architects, or they do it themselves. So there's a huge potential of these projects. Because of the hurdles, clients could not connect with architects or were sort of scared. So we wanted to get those architects, those clients connect with the architect talent pool. Now, in answering your question, so this was just to sort of explain sort of misunderstanding. But in answering your question, it's really architects. They are sort of accustomed throughout their education to participate in competitions, in sort of traditional competitions, and sort of lose. losing is not a bad thing in architecture. I mean, you're sort of it's like training for a soccer game. You know, you're always sort of in training process, and all these projects that they are participating in, they are actually projects that they put in their portfolios and become really important projects. It's not sort of a wasted time for them. And it's also, you have to think about, coming back to my explanation about the type of projects, these are projects that usually established architects would, nowadays, really not be interested in so much. If you go to architectural office and you say, I need a bathroom design, it's probably not very attractive to them and very expensive for them to sort of participate. So what these projects are usually very attractive to young professionals that just came out, that sort of formed their companies, 1 to 5 year old companies that try to acquire clients for themselves and improve themselves, and ArcBazaar provides this sort of flat playing field for those type of young architects that want really to get into the business. So for them, this is a really a good sort of opportunity. But then again, our architect base in the United States versus outside the United States, I mean, the motivation of them might differ. For architects in the United States, it's a marketing tool, perhaps, to acquire clients. But for an architect, for example, in Armenia, maybe the award is really a good salary that
$800
might, yeah.
Could be a lot of money, a month's income or something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so if you're just joining us, you're listening to Launchpad on Business Radio, powered by the Wharton School. I'm Carl Ulrich, Vice Dean of Innovation at Wharton, and I'm speaking with Dr. Imdat Oz, who's the founder of ArcBazaar and himself an architect. So, Imdat, this is kind of a classic, what in the economics literature you would call a platform for coordinating a two-sided market, which is you have, on the one side, consumers who are looking for design services. Mm-hmm. On the other side, you have this very fragmented supply base of architects.
Mm-hmm.
And what you guys are doing is putting those two sides together with an online platform. Mm-hmm. Now, you happen to be using a contest platform,
yes.
But it is fundamentally the coordination of a two-sided market.
Yes.
How do you make money? What's the business here?
So the sort of basic revenue model that we are currently using is simply asking for a service fee from clients. So, for example, if you put up a project for your attic space and you say, okay, I have $1,000, so you pay that $1,000 and you pay an addition 15%, so you would pay $1,150 to us. So we keep the $150 and then we distribute $1,000 among the winning designers. So you, as the client, would in the end, after 2 weeks, say, after you get all your submissions, you would pick your first three choices, the first, second, and third, and we would distribute the $1,000. So 60% would go to the first one, 30% to the second, and 10% to the third one. And then we would keep the 15%, $150 out of that.
Yeah.
But
so it's essentially a commission-based or fee-based model, a little adder,
yes.
or to fund the platform, which
yeah.
it makes a lot of sense. How
yeah.
did you, Imdat? I'm really
yeah.
curious. The you can imagine, I can imagine lots of different award structures that you might offer to, you know, you might have a winner take all.
Yeah.
You might imagine splitting it among the top two, the top three.
Mm-hmm.
You've arrived at this particular model, which is a split among the top three.
Yeah.
How did you get to that? Was that a question of just trial and error, or did you have some theoretical basis for doing that, and has that changed over time?
It didn't change, but it was sort of a gut feeling, I would say. But also as an architect, I empathize with my fellow architects. And it's also quite common in architectural, in traditional architectural competitions. I mean, the contest model, or what we now call crowdsourcing model, in other fields, is actually very sort of common in architecture. I mean, the Parthenon was done by a competition, or the Hagia Sophia.
Really? Yeah.
So what we are really doing is, how can we bring that sort of very expensive competition model into everyday, every people's lives? And in the traditional competition model, usually the first 3 to 5 people get paid, get some money. And then there are also honorable mentions, for people who did really excellent job but couldn't get into the top top 3 or 5. So we sort of applied that model and use it in Art Bazaar. Now, as an architect, that's very I mean, if you're first, being first, getting the sort of name recognition and fame is really really great, and 60% of the award is still a very good award. And if you're second or third, that's still, you know, sort of a good good award. So we wanted to sort of spread the rewards among our designers. So, and there is also a point system, actually, that we have on Art Bazaar, and designers can earn certain points even if they don't win anything, but just participate. If they get honorable mentions, they get certain points, first, second, third awards. So there is also this sort of ranking among designers, among peers on our site.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So if you're at your computer or later, go check it out again. It's arcbazar.com. I found it super interesting. Tell us a little bit, MDOT, about how it's going. You alluded to this having its origins in your doctoral dissertation in architecture, and or actually I'm not sure what your degree is in, but in your doctoral dissertation. And then has this been a labor of love? Has it been something that now you feel like has got some traction, really going? Give us walk us through a little bit the business and what the journey's been like.
Yeah, it's, you're right. I did my dissertation in architecture, and sort of the idea of crowdsourcing was actually was sort of an early on idea that I sort of developed at MIT when I was doing my master's degree with then my thesis advisor Takehiko Nagakura there. But the idea, you know, at MIT, they were in architecture and computation, they were working a lot on sort of artificial intelligence and sort of algorithms that actually can design for you. And they were studying a lot of these sort of famous architects like Frank Lloyd Wright and others, Alvaro Siza, and trying to understand what sort of what's the algorithm to derive two styles from these architects. And that always sort of intrigued me. But Art Bazaar is sort of a hybrid model where we use the computer and the internet, but then also have human beings sort of contributing to derive to a high-end quality design. Now, we started this really sort of as a project in 2009 and got incorporated in 2011. Now we are growing, we got a lot of traction, we did a lot of projects, and recently we just hired a professional CEO, Alison Andrews Race, and she had some really great background in smaller startups, and we sort of left the company to professionals running it. Right now we are trying to get more traction, grow much faster, and we think we are right now sort of at the bottom of the hockey stick, trying to really make the big breakthrough.
You know, this is for our listeners, is a fairly typical pattern, which is a business starts as a passion of the founder, and in this case, MDOT, your expertise was really in design and in some of the theoretical foundations, but as you suggest, maybe you're not the right guy to lead the growth phase. So that's a pretty typical pattern that the founder begins out of passion, gets it to a certain point, and then is able to make or attempts to make a transition to an experienced CEO who could possibly take it through to the next phase.
Absolutely.
So I really applaud you for having the introspection to be able to self-awareness to say, hey, it's time to bring in somebody else for the next phase of the business.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. We are very delighted to have our CEO, and it's going now. It's much more professional, as you said. We started as sort of a project, more academic perhaps. Right now, it's transitioning into a real business, so to speak.
Say a couple of words about financing. You probably, well, why don't I just leave it that? Say a little bit about how you have financed the business. Has it been a bootstrapped effort, or have you had some external financing?
Yes, we had seed funding very early on from, we are really lucky that we are here in the Boston, in the Cambridge area, which has a really great startup ecosystem. And so we had some major angels in the area invest in us. Since then, so we used that money to really get up to this point. And right now with our new CEO, we are looking for a Series A round, a bigger round. But it was really the development so far through the ecosystem that we had in here. And actually, Dave Balter, your guest from the previous segment, had a Shark Tank here a year ago. So we participated in that and gave us a really good exposure. So
yeah, I'm gonna drop another name, which is gonna amuse you. As I told Dave, I'm from Boston. It's great. We have two guests from Boston. But my classmate at MIT was John Hirschtick, who I noticed is your advisor.
Yes.
So I don't know if he was one of your angels, but he's a terrific guy and really just one of those people in the Boston entrepreneurial ecosystem that really has contributed to so many companies.
Absolutely. John Hirschtick is a brilliant person. He really, I would say, he had a lot of impact on ArcBazaar and where we are right now. He introduced us to a lot of people. We are very delighted and privileged to have him as an advisor.
I'm going to say just a couple words more about that, not about John specifically, but about the role that people like John play. John was my classmate, and at MIT, he was always interested in entrepreneurship. He had one venture that I would say was a base hit, and then he went on to found a company called SolidWorks, which really revolutionized computer-aided design.
Yes.
And he made a lot of money. He was very successful. He went on to, I think he still is chairman of that organization. But then he turned his energies to really helping dozens of other companies grow and get started, and just with a lot of generosity. And those kinds of people, whether it's John or in Silicon Valley, it's a variety of others, play a critical role in creating an ecosystem. And
absolutely.
So I just want to point that out to our listeners and really give a nod to John and people like him.
Absolutely, yeah. We are totally grateful to have John and on our advisory board. And in general, the ecosystem here in Cambridge is very friendly from my experience. And this is my first company, so everything was new for me, as you can imagine, somebody coming out from the academia, but it's so nurturing, so great, you get lawyers, you get office space, you get, it's really great mentors and advisors.
Yeah. Well, MDOT, we're out of time. It really flew by. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Carl, for inviting. This has been a great privilege for us, and thank you for thinking about us.
All right. For our listeners who are interested in learning more about ArcBazaar, check out their website, arcbazaar.com. And you can also follow them on Twitter, @ArcBazaar. Come.